Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. On today's program, we'll be talking about the Fargesson Media Project, a means of bringing together people who are different. But first, we're happy to welcome St. Louis Aldermanic President Louis Reed. He comes to us as the region is lamenting the loss of the Rams and some other things to talk about, Louis Reed, but thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Don.
Let's talk about this Rams deal. Everybody else's, your take on what's been happening this week.
Well, you know, First, I think it was very important that the city of St. Louis put a proposal in so that we could be, considered for an NFL spot, right? I was, along with people all across the city of St. Louis, across the region, I was very unhappy with some of the comments that Kroenke made, especially when he pointed out the loss in population, as a factor for an NFL team. But we know population, when it leaves the city of St. Louis, is leaving the city of St. Louis to St. Louis County, to Illinois, and some of those other areas, still within that fan base, right? And that hasn't affected the Cardinals games, that hasn't affected the Blues games, and it hasn't affected the NFL. What affected the NFL was not putting a winning team on the field, right? It wasn't the fan base at all. One of the biggest losses I think we have with this is the fact that we had an opportunity for a $1.1 billion investment in the city of St. Louis, where we would spend very little tax dollars in comparison to the money that would come in from outside of the city. With a development like that, we could have addressed some of the employment issues for some of the young people in the city of St. Louis. We could have set them on new careers and things of that nature to be able to address some of the public safety issues that we see in our city.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you ever met Stan Kroenke?
Have never met Stan Kroenke.
Well, that makes it almost unanimous. Mayor Slay says he's never talked with him as well.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting this week after his rant in all those pages in his application to the NFL that when it was all over and done with, he says it's a bittersweet
it's
a bittersweet thing for him to leave.
Well, it didn't seem so bittersweet with all the pages and stuff. St. Louis is a great city, right? And you have a great fan base. Otherwise, you couldn't have sold all the PSLs that were required to build the first stadium.
How much did we spend, and I mean collectively spend, on trying to keep the team here and architectural renderings and commissions and all the rest of it?
One of the things that's important for people to understand the difference, it was from the Regional Sports Authority. It was not the city of St. Louis. We weren't in control of the funding of any of that or the spending or the allocation of any of those funds. That was done strictly within the RSA itself. And it's my understanding that the RSA spent somewhere close to $16 million in that fishing expedition. And, I tell you what, but we wouldn't have even been in the running had it not been for the hard works of Dave Peacock. I think Dave went way beyond the call of duty. It wasn't something that he had to do, but it was something that he wanted to do to try to help the city of St. Louis.
If you spend $16 million on a fishing expedition, you want to catch a pretty big fish.
You want to catch a fish.
Or at least something.
At least something. But, let me make sure to make this divide. It wasn't Dave Peacock that was in charge of that. Again, that was the RSA itself. And, I hope there's a way for us to recoup some of that downstream.
Talking lawsuit, maybe?
Well, I don't know if the city of St. Louis is pursuing that lawsuit. It would be that's an executive function. That's not something that we can do as a legislative branch of city government, but the mayor's office would be able to choose whether they would like to sue the NFL or not for that, for the recoup of those funds.
You know, some people are already beginning to talk about a silver lining to this story, that being that it opens up the convention center for more action, and that can generate a lot of dollars, out-of-town dollars that will be coming in, as opposed to the local dollars that would just be spent on the football team.
Yeah, but again, if we would have built the new stadium, the over $1 billion stadium on the riverfront, the convention center would have still been open for all of those things that we would do, all the monster truck rallies, all of the, all of the concerts or whatever we could do with that dome. We would still be able to do that and have had a billion-dollar development on the riverfront, where we would have, you know, a small amount of tax dollars included in it in comparison to the money that would come from other places.
But there will be more convention business. Again, I understand what
Absolutely.
You're saying, but there will be some revenue generated. What about the property where the stadium would have gone? What about that that real estate?
Well, right now there isn't any solid plans for that. I know when they were looking at building a stadium, one of the ideas that they were throwing out was to build it in such a way that it could also house a pro soccer team, right? Because soccer fields are, you know, are relatively the same mm-hmm. length, but they're wider than a football field. So they were going to build that thing so that it can also be used for multiple purposes.
Right. While we're talking things of this type, what about NGA? And that is very important to the city as well, the Geospatial Intelligence Agency, Geospatial.
Sure.
you know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
What are the chances, do you think, of the city landing there?
You know, that's one of those that I would hate to speculate on. If you just, you know, read the tea leaves and you say, okay, who would stand the biggest chance of winning at St. Louis or a place like Scott Air Force Base? Over in Illinois, the President of the United States, home state, he has a lot of friends that have a lot at stake in NGA being housed over in Illinois. I think we have the best urban case for NGA being housed here in the city of St. Louis, just what it would mean to our urban core and the jobs and the impact to the city economically. I think we have the best case there.
How important is it to the city, really?
I think NGA is very important to the city. It's a chance of, thousands of jobs maintaining in the city, staying in the city of St. Louis, but not only staying in the city of St. Louis, but the potential growth that they're talking about within that job base. They're looking at doubling the amount of employees within NGA, and that would make a big difference to our city, and it would make a huge economic impact, along with the construction, right, and all of the activity that would happen around there, and stabilizing the area that it would go into.
Is there a role for the Board of Aldermen with regard to NGA and for that riverfront property that we were just talking about?
There is absolutely a role for the Board of Aldermen. All of those projects, whether it's a revamp of the stadium plan to something else that someone would look to bring to the city of St. Louis, or the NGA, the Board of Aldermen would have to take up legislation for all of those things, everything from things as small as, you know, street vacations all the way up to development plans to TIFs and every other thing that would go into a development.
Do you have any pet projects?
The pet project for me, surprisingly enough, was a stadium. It's a project that on the onset when it first started, it was one that I wasn't supportive of. I thought that it was important that the voters had a right to vote. But once the judge made his decision and then we ended up getting a timeline from the NFL, that was out the window. And we had to rush and get a plan put together. But the reason that ended up being a pet project for me is because if you take a look at what we're left with now, now that we do not have an NFL team, right, and the Rams are leaving, we're now stuck with paying $6 million a year, and we've lost $4.2 million a year. We now have to pay $6 million a year for the next 5 years. That's just the city's piece. So we're in for $30 million with no revenue coming in to match it. Then the state and the county also has a piece of that they have to come up with. Mm-hmm. We lost all of those jobs.
Right. You mentioned the potential for soccer a little while ago.
Yes.
in that stadium that's not going to be now. I suppose could be played in the Dome if we wanted to. Would you envision a role for yourself in trying to lure Major League Soccer to our community?
Absolutely. The Dome would be, it's my understanding, the Dome would be a little more of a challenge because of the width of the soccer field and the available width in that dome, then that's just kind of, you know, a early opinion that we've received on it. But I think that we should look at a pro soccer team in the city of St. Louis. When a few years ago, when they had that pro game soccer match here in the city,
the Bosnian,
remember? That match sold out in under 45 minutes, mm-hmm. and it was crazy when you went down there, and how many people from all across the region and the state that were lured downtown for a soccer match, and we know that there's a pent up demand for it in our region and across the state, and I think that we're well positioned in the middle of the United States, gateway to the West, that we can do it.
Yeah, well, St. Louis has always been known as a soccer town, but it seems to me that over the years, when they've attempted to bring professional soccer into town, indoor or outdoor, that it hasn't worked out all that well.
Yeah, and I think that's a factor of numerous things. You know, what kind of players can you afford to put on the field? What attraction does those players have on a national and international level? And, how are you competing? Mm-hmm. How are you competing as a team? And are you competing at a level that's going to draw the fan base? And how are we advertising it? So mm-hmm. I think all of those things, all those factors go into the success of a franchise.
Well, while we're talking sports, and there are certainly other things to talk about, I have an email here I'd like to get your response to. It says from Victoria, St. Louisans are upset about losing the Rams. Let's turn this negative into a positive. If you have been to a St. Louis Rams game or are a fan, contribute money you would have spent on tickets to an endowment fund for the St. Louis Public Schools. When we will then have an investment not in a stadium but in our human capital. We live in a country and have never been – or live in the county, that is, and have never been to a Rams game but would be happy to invest this way.
I think that's a great idea. I think, we could use all of the help we can get in our schools, and education is our number one priority, and it has to be. So I think that an endowment fund through the education would be great. We also set up an opportunity for people to be able to invest private dollars into our rec centers across the city of St. Louis. You know how you Forest Park Forever, you can invest private funds within Forest Park Forever. Now we have endowment funds where you can invest directly to a rec center across the city of St. Louis and work to make that rec center better. And what that does, that helps the kids within that community. That gives them a place to go and exercise, get involved in positive activities, and helps in the total development of the child.
But does it seem to you that we have it's a lot easier to raise money for projects like football stadiums and things like that than it is to raise funds to put into education and some of the things you're talking about?
Or education, public radio. I mean, yeah, absolutely. You look at the Rams stadium, and at the time when we were debating that stadium, a lot of people showed up and said, wouldn't it be better to have an aquarium on the riverfront? And I say, yes, it would. But we're getting over $900 million in dollars outside of the city of St. Louis, tax dollars, and private investments from outside of the city of St. Louis that will only go to a football stadium. But if someone showed up with $1 billion of private investment for a aquarium, we're going to build an aquarium on the riverfront. You know, any of those things. If somebody showed up with $1 billion for an arts center on the riverfront, let's build an arts center on the riverfront. Right. You know, remove that other thing from it, whether it's football, arts, or an aquarium.
What would $1 billion do to education in the city of St. Louis?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. It would be great. So think about this. For the football stadium deal, we would have the city taxpayers, right? There were two components. One component was the $75 million of new money that we would have to put in, right? But the other $75 million, a large part of that would come from the entertainment tax and sales tax on the ramp side. But if we could have gotten the amount of money that people would have spent in PSLs on that new stadium, which was $160 million in PSLs, if we could just get that $160 million in PSLs that people from all across the region would have spent on this new stadium input into education, it would make a big difference in our education.
Well, that $160 million, that's about what the St. Louis City earnings tax provides, and I want to talk about that tax in a moment. Yes. We're talking with Lewis Reed, who is the president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. We'll continue our discussion when we come back. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Lewis Reed. Okay, the earnings tax. We have a vote scheduled, and it's really only a matter of weeks now on whether or not to continue that. It would be a devastating loss, wouldn't it?
It would be. I think saying a devastating loss would be putting it lightly. I mean, it is a third of our general fund, and there isn't any reasonable way of making up that amount of money. When you look at what those funds go for, they go to pay for things like our public safety systems, right? So we had over 180 murders last year. Can you imagine what it would be if our public safety services had to be cut back? It goes for things, everything from paving of streets to general maintenance issues around the city and the like. One of the things, points of discussion that I'm really hoping that we can get into during this round of discussions about the earnings tax is what really truly is the St. Louis City landmass look like? Because people who don't have earnings taxes, they replace it through land taxes and other things of that nature. St. Louis City. Land mass itself, right? The 66 square miles I guess 62 of it really is land mass, right? And of those 62, a large portion of it, of those acres, is occupied by nonprofits, right? And who are tax exempt or tax exempt organization, everything from St. Louis University to Washington University to BJC Health Systems to, the city of St. Louis, and all of the buildings that it owns, the libraries, Forest Park, and so on and so on. So a earnings tax makes a big difference in a city with that type of a makeup.
Well, this is something the city is going to have to go through every 5 years, a public vote on whether to continue the earnings tax, correct?
Yes, it's going to have to go through it every 5 years. If it passes, we would have 10 years to phase it out. And it would create a lot of pain for everyone, including the residents of the city of St. Louis, because their taxes would have to go up. We have approximately 319,000 residents in the city of St. Louis, and evening time residents. During the day, that population swells to, by over 120,000 new people within the city of St. Louis who come here for work and the like. And it gives us an opportunity to spread the cost of running the city across a broader spectrum.
So this vote every 5 years is like a traumatic annuity for city leaders having to sweat it out every 5 years.
Absolutely. And, one of the things I was surprised about during the last discussion when we discussed this a few years ago was how many people showed up and said, hey, I don't have a problem with paying earnings tax. And how many businesses? I was really surprised about the number of businesses that rallied and got behind, supporting keeping earnings tax. The Downtown Partnership, which is a coalition of all downtown businesses, all of which, have employees and also themselves, they're paying earnings tax. And they said, no, the earnings tax needs to stay. the other options aren't good options for the city.
Yeah. Changing the subject now, the former county executive in St. Louis County, Gene McNary, and his son, Cole, floated a proposal the other day to establish a borough system that would involve and could involve the city of St. Louis being split into two boroughs, while seven boroughs were established in St. Louis County. Does that make any sense to you?
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know what the upside would be. You know, look at the city of St. Louis right now. We're a fairly small city, you know, with just the land mass we have and, you know, with the borders that we've imposed on ourselves years ago when we annexed ourselves from the county. I don't see where splitting us up anymore would help. It may help the county with the 91 municipalities. It may help them to organize better by having them into seven boroughs.
Be a little more efficient, I think, is what they're saying. Could eliminate a lot of police departments and fire departments and things like that and save some money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but not so much for the city of St. Louis. A big issue in the city, you've already alluded to it, but let me again see if there is a legislative approach to the crime problem in the city. I mean, you indicated the homicide rate last year was just off the charts. Lots of problems. We've already had some bloodshed this year. Mm-hmm. Is there a legislative approach to dealing with this?
Well, tomorrow we're going to pass out of the Board of Aldermen our allocation of our Prop S funds, and we do this every year. We have anywhere between $500,000 to $1 million a year that we allocate to nonprofits across the city of St. Louis that will go out in the community and help with, you know, different types of youth and youth development projects and programs across the city. So tomorrow we're going to announce that. We're going to announce, you know, who will be receiving those funds. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. The other thing is, you know, again, and not to go back to the stadium deal again, but it's things like that that can be transformative in the city. Because until we create opportunities for some of these young people that are out on the streets, it's just not good enough to say, stop doing what you're doing, you know, put down your guns, be good, stop selling drugs or whatever you're doing. It's not good enough just to say that anymore. Nancy Reagan had no success in saying, you know, just say no, right? We have to give the kids an opportunity or something to say yes to, right? And so, you know, when we have projects like that billion-dollar stadium we could have put down on the riverfront, it goes beyond just football. We could have used that project and leveraged that project to transform the lives of some of these young kids by opening up opportunities for new jobs and new careers for them. So I think we need to continue to look for opportunities like that as they come around. We're looking at a general obligation bond in the city of St. Louis now. I think part of that general obligation bond should have language in it that addresses some of those same things. And when we begin to change things at that level and change the income in the homes of these families across the city of St. Louis and create real opportunities for these kids and give them an opportunity while we're asking them to put down the gun, and we're asking them to put down all these other things we're asking them to put down, we're giving them an opportunity at the same time to pick up a paycheck.
Do you think that there has been something like a Ferguson effect on politicians in this area? And I mean not only the city, but generally, you have your finger on the pulse. That being that paying more attention now to some of the things that you've just talked about with regard to this approach rather than some of the approaches of the past.
I do see it helping in a small way. It, you know, I would hope it was my hope that, you know, post Ferguson, we would see it have a bigger impact on the way some of the elected officials are operating, because with some of the things that we had to do, the tough decisions we had to make on the stadium deal and some of the other things that we're working on, that could transform the lives of some people throughout our community. We're still seeing some elected officials hesitant or just falling into business as usual. And sometimes you have to tell them, you have to be able to take the tough message. Here's an example. The stadium deal. Myself, others, you know, Antonio French and some of the others, we didn't want to vote on the thing. And we thought that it was a problem that the residents didn't have a right to vote, right? And that was a big deal. That was a huge deal for me. It was a huge deal for Alderman French. But once the NFL and others said gave us our timeline, we saw that the timeline wouldn't work. We had to make a decision on if we put a proposal in, and if the proposal was chosen, we could have truly transformed the lives of some of the kids in the city of St. Louis and some of these families in the city of St. Louis. We needed to do it. I was disappointed that some elected officials chose not to come into that fire. I understand it was a tough place to be because there was so much public, pent up emotions around the other side.
Sure. With regard to the public vote on the stadium, there are a number of people out there who think that the city was disingenuous in challenging the notion that there didn't need to be a public vote, because the city actually did want the stadium and didn't want to risk having a public vote on it.
And I was one of the elected officials that made that statement that you just made, and I agreed. I thought that remember, this is something that happens on the executive branch of city government. This isn't the legislative branch, which I and others represent. Yeah. We don't represent the city in court, right? The city council's office works for the mayors, and we don't have any control over them. So when the city took a pass after going to court and the judge saying, well, adjacent, this property is adjacent, and the city said, okay, we're done. Myself, I wrote a letter to the mayor and others. I know Alderman French and others took a position and said, no, the city, you need to appeal that decision. We need to challenge that decision because – the public does have the right to vote on this thing. We can't control that. It's the attorneys don't report to us.
Another issue I wanted to touch on, and that is the issue of homelessness. It's getting a lot of attention these days, and what the city's role should and could be with regard to dealing with the homeless. Your position on that?
Well, I think that, number one, I think, a couple things I think we need to make sure that they get clarified here. First thing is, I think the issue of homelessness is a regional thing, right? And people oftentimes look at just the city and say, well, it's just the city's issue, city you guys have to deal with. But it's not. It's a regional issue, and it's one that we all should be engaged in. Second thing is, I think we need to understand exactly what our homeless population looks like, right? We're sitting here, we don't know what percentage of the people are homeless because of, mental health issues, or what percentage are homeless because of income issues, what percentage are homeless because they're chronically homeless and that's what they prefer to be. So to develop a solid plan for addressing it, we have to understand exactly what that population looks like, to see if, okay, when the state cut health benefits for the mentally ill, what did that mean downstream in terms of the homeless population and what happens now with the homeless population in the city of St. Louis? Did we see a ballooning effect of that? What does it mean to our public safety numbers and the like? So all of those factors, I think we need to have an understanding of to develop a solid plan.
Well, there needs to be
It's more than just than just the housing.
More than just the housing. We're going to have to leave it at that, Lewis Reed. Thanks so much for coming. There's always much to talk about when it comes to things going on in the city of St. Louis and the surrounding area. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you about things such as this. Thank you.
Thank you, too, Doug.
Great to have you with us. Lewis Reed, of course, is president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Coming up, the Fargesson Media Project. What is it and how it works? This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.